Welcome to the Disrupt Yourself podcast. I'm Whitney Johnson. I'm an author, a speaker, and I write about disruption for LinkedIn and the Harvard Business Review. In my book, Disrupt Yourself, I set forth a framework for personal disruption. In this podcast, I explore these ideas in greater depth. This episode features my conversation with a disruptor named Marco Rosamilia, the co-founder of a flying trapeze school. A Long Island, New York native, he and his brother were set to take over their family's well-established recycling business, but chose the circus arts instead. They started at Club Med in Florida and eventually founded their own business with locations in Arizona and New York.
I like getting those people who don't think they can do it to do it. I like having people walking away saying that was awesome. I like people telling me that my business is amazing. People say that a lot.
Mm-hmm. How did you get interested in trapeze in the first place?
Rather random. So my brother was actually a scuba instructor at a resort. And in his free time, because the resort was all about active vacations, I had all of these activities. So in his free time, he would go over to flying trapeze and learn to fly on the trapeze. At some point, they just decided, all right, we're going to transition you from, you're not going to be a scuba instructor anymore, you're going to do flying trapeze. So he started doing it, and he was probably did it for a year or two before me. At some point, he was down in Turks and Caicos in the Western Caribbean, a great resort right on the beach, and I went to visit him for a week. I spent a week flying on the trapeze learning whatever they were teaching, and I mean, I thought it was great. You know, you get to meet new people every week coming into the resort. They're on vacation. You're having a good time. You're learning to fly on the trapeze. You're teaching trapeze. It was just a great lifestyle. And I, at the time, was also transitioning from one job to another. I had been working in my family's business for many years. I took another job in New York, but wasn't ready to settle into New York. I'm from New York.
Where in New York?
From Long Island.
Long Island. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old were you when this was happening?
You'll be surprised. 27.
27. Okay.
27 is when I started flying trapeze.
Love it.
So prior to that, I had been traveling a lot post-college, and I just wasn't ready to settle down. I wanted to travel again. And lo and behold, maybe a month or two after I visited my brother, he gave me a call, said they're looking for people for flying trapeze. Go online, fill out the application, and you know, see what happens. And I got the job. And at the time, the resort was also doing specific training programs for flying trapeze and circus arts. So I had I got the job. I had a 1 month training program, and from there, worked in the resort for about 2 years and maybe a little longer. But you know, being able to do that every day, because when you live in the resort, you don't have to worry about you know, eating and paying your rent and health insurance and all that stuff, because that's all inclusive of your employment. So okay. I got to do flying trapeze every day.
All right. So,
and got very good at it in a very short amount of time.
Yes. And I want to hear more about that in just a second. But the family business, what was the family business and why did you decide that this isn't what you wanted to do?
The family business was metal recycling. Okay. Family was in the business for over 50 years. And me and my brothers grew up working in the family business, and it was a great business. You know, we owned everything, the property, the buildings, everything free and clear. If we actually wanted to step into the family business, would have been great. But after doing that so long, you get to a point where you want to do something else. And this was, I had ventured into other things that I was interested in, but this came along. It was another opportunity to travel, and I jumped on it.
Okay. So literally you jumped on it.
Literally.
So what did you, what did you do when you were growing up? I mean, did you ever do gymnastics or anything? I mean,
no, not at all. I'm not actually very good at, flipping and spinning and back handsprings and gymnastics type stuff. I mean, I've learned trampoline skills, and I've learned a lot on flying trapeze and a lot of circus arts. But prior to that, no. I grew up playing soccer. I played my whole life. You know, ran a little bit of track, but I mean, my whole life playing soccer.
Now you're saying flying trapeze as opposed to trapeze. What's the difference between the two?
So flying trapeze is, whether you've seen a traditional circus or you know, any kind of Cirque Nouveau like Cirque du Soleil, you're talking about people swinging back and forth to each other. So at some point there's one person swinging, one person catching, that person swinging lets go and is caught by a catcher and then is sent back in the other direction to grab a bar again and return to the platform. That's flying trapeze. Mm-hmm. There is single trapeze, which is static trapeze. Could be one or two people. Could be three people. There have even been some instances where there are six people. But that trapeze, for the most part, is stationary. It is hanging. Hmm. It is high up, but it is just hanging. It's not swinging.
So most of when I say trapeze, and probably most people when we say trapeze, we're actually picturing flying trapeze.
You're probably referring to flying trapeze, yes. Although there is also a very big, you know, in our community or in our business, we refer to there's flying trapeze and aerials. There are a lot of aerial studios that have popped up over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And a lot of people do that as well. You don't need as much space. You don't need the same equipment. You don't need the same safety equipment and skills and things like that. And it's a lot easier to get into. But aerials refers to basically anything that you would hang. Mm. Anything can be an aerial. I have a friend who has a chair that hangs from the ceiling, and she does an act on a chair. But usually aerials, you're talking about a trapeze or a silk or a lira, which is a round metal hoop.
Oh, so like what we can see on America's Got Talent.
Stuff like America's Got Talent.
You probably haven't watched it, but I have. What did your family say when you said, you know what, I'm not going to go into the recycling business. I'm going to do something else. Did they think you were out of your mind?
It was more, no. No, not so much. You know, my father said, look, if you want it, it's here. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. Obviously, he's not gonna make me do it. He did, though, at the point at which I decided I was going to work at a resort at age 27. He did say, "Don't you think maybe you want to think about, you know, getting a career and doing something?" And my mom was like, "Yeah, just go now before you don't have the chance to do it anymore." Uh-huh. So, not that he was not supportive. He was not upset or anything.
Yeah.
That just was his comment. Just fine. It's completely understandable. I knew I was kind of well off the beaten path, mm-hmm. you know, at age 27, literally running away and joining the circus. but, you know, we took a crack at it, and after a while, we stuck with it, and we left the resort and started a business. And my parents have been extremely supportive.
And proud, probably.
Yeah, very proud, very proud.
After extensive training at Club Med Resorts, Marco came back to New York determined to launch a business to introduce his passion to new clients. It won't surprise you to hear that he ran into challenges left and right. Trapeze is a niche activity that you can only do when it's warm outside. The insurance policy you need to send your clients flying through the air and the space for the equipment you need to keep them safe are both enormous. What has been the most difficult thing that you've had to face in your business over the last 10 years?
Only one thing. What's difficult about our business? A couple of things. It's difficult to find space and keep space. It is difficult to, financially, it's a challenge because you have instructors who are specialized and you can't get away with running a flying trapeze class with one person or even two people. When it comes to that second part of the class, which is the most exciting part of the class, where people fly and do a catch with one of our instructors, you need an instructor on the platform, an instructor in the catch trapeze, and an instructor on the ground giving direction and holding the safety lines.
So three people at all times.
So three people minimum to run this program. And can those three people also work all those positions effectively? And that's the answer isn't always yes to that. So staffing is difficult. You're in an obscure business to begin with. Any small business is difficult. Any small business that makes it out of his first year, as you know, is on its way to success. Any small business that makes it 10 years, you know, is in
small top, percentage,
10th percentile or something to that effect. And then you're running a seasonal outdoor business. So mm-hmm. you build a clientele, you build momentum, and then all of a sudden the cold weather comes and it's like, oh. Mm-hmm. Then you have to ramp it back up again next year.
I'd like to hear a little bit about why do people decide they want to be on a trapeze?
For a lot of people, it's a bucket list activity. Mm-hmm. Now, I think because whether you see it on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or you walk up right next to it, and it's probably most powerful when you walk up right next to it and it looks big and it looks Maybe it looks scary. For some people, it looks scary. For some people, it looks exciting. The goal of every session or class that we teach, mm-hmm. and my brother and I make this a point when we're training our instructors, is people are here to have a good time, and we want to make sure they walk away and say, that was awesome, that was amazing. Because that was always our experience in the resort. Mm-hmm. People would always say, that was the best part of my vacation. Flying mm-hmm. on the trapeze was the best part of my vacation.
Wow. That's high praise.
Yeah.
Someone on a vacation to say that that's the best part. So you said some people do it and they think it looks exciting. Some people do it and they think they're scared. If you had to say a percentage, what percentage are excited about it and what percentage are doing it because they want to overcome a fear?
Most people are doing it because it looks fun and it's exciting. Mm. To get someone up there who knows they have a fear, mm-hmm. it's already pretty impressive that they signed up and they know that they're scared.
Yeah.
There's plenty of times, well, I shouldn't say plenty of times. Plenty of times over 10 years, but it's not like it happens every day. But people will sit down, get their belt on, see the demonstration, and they'll say, I'm not going up there. Mm-hmm. Or they will go up, and then they'll get on the platform, and they're like, I can't do it. We've actually gotten very good at trapeze psychology. And what I mean by that is knowing what to say and to make people comfortable and to get them off the platform
so
and get them swinging.
So what do you say when someone says, oh, I can't do it?
I tell them I hate the words, I can't. Mm-hmm. I tell them those words don't exist here. Mm-hmm. I tell them, listen, try it once. If you don't like it, you don't have to go up there again. Mm-hmm. And we tell that to the kids a lot. You know, people think, I don't know, some people walk up and be like, oh, kids, they have no fear. Oh, the kids get scared all the time. First of all, it's like, it's one way or the other. There's no like, it's not kids are more scared or less scared or adults are more scared or less scared. It's very random. But whether it's a child or an adult, I will usually go that same round and say, listen, you're in safety lines. You see Max right there. He's holding the safety lines. Watch when this person goes. See, mm-hmm. even when they let go, if they let go at the right time or the wrong time, he just slows them down. They come in the net and they bounce. And if it's a kid, you get to be like, you know, kiddie mm-hmm. with it. Oh, come on. You can bounce in the net. It's kind of like a big trampoline. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to
we
the
get
adults?
To act like we get to act like kids with the kids.
Yeah. What about the adults?
The adults, I'm a little more stern with.
I'm one of the scared ones. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I look at that. And when you said that maybe people are self-selecting, mm-hmm. You know, that you're saying 80% or so are doing because they think it's exciting and 20% are doing because they're kind of trying to overcome a fear. Mm-hmm. But for me, I look at it and I think that looks scary to me.
Right. But you smile when you say that.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that one of the psychology pieces you use with people?
Perhaps, yeah. For example, if they're up on the platform, they're saying, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go.
But they're up on the platform.
Well, you climbed the ladder. You signed up for the class. You climbed the ladder.
Right.
You're here.
Right.
And most people will actually say the ladder is the hardest part.
Interesting.
In which case, if you're already up on the platform, I will tell you, most people say the ladder is the hardest part. You did the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Now it's the fun part. Mm-hmm. So look, try it once.
Did you know that you were going to end up being a psychologist when you took this on?
No, and no. I don't think I had any idea that I would actually be a good instructor. Mm. Like I didn't.
So that surprised.
I mean, when I was in high school and I thought about what I wanted to do in college or what I wanted to study, one of the things I thought about doing was being a teacher. Mm. But there wasn't anything I did in my elementary high school life that made me think I was a good teacher. Mm. I was just like,
now you're kind of doing that.
Now I'm kind of doing that.
Yeah.
So I am teaching. I mean, I suppose I've learned a lot about trapeze psychology. Yeah. I've gotten a lot of people and a lot of kids to people and kids, adults and kids, people and those little kid things
yeah.
to do a lot of things that either they basically thought they couldn't do. Mm-hmm. You don't need any skill to get out there and do it as a recreational activity. Mm-hmm. You literally just need to be willing to give it a shot. Are you willing to give it a shot? Great. I've taken people who have gone from, we say, crying to flying. I've literally had people cry on the way up the ladder, cry on the platform, cry after their first swing. And then by the end of the session, they're actually getting their legs up on the bar on time with no problem. They're taking their hands off on time. They're meeting the catcher in the middle and doing a catch and screaming with joy.
Yeah.
Because when they got here, they were like, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Well, you've sold me. I'm going to come do it. What's next for your business? I mean, you've really had lots and lots of ups and downs.
Yeah, and you haven't even heard half of it.
Okay. Well, I think it's a great sampling. So yes. What's next for your business?
There have been a lot of, flying trapeze schools popping up over, let's say, the last 5 to 10 years. We've been very successful.
Yeah.
There is one school that's bigger than us, and they have X amount of locations around the country.
But you've carved out a really interesting niche for yourself.
Right. I mean, we literally started with, 20,000, $30,000 that me and my brother had, bought the equipment, got the insurance policy, and then just grinded it out from there. Mm-hmm. We never took on any money, and we came from flying trapeze and circus arts. We weren't just somebody who's decided, hey, I like this. Either I got a bunch of money I'm going to throw at it, or I'm going to get a bunch of people to invest in it, and we're going to start this.
Yeah, this is you. This is your business. You bootstrapped it.
We definitely bootstrapped it.
Yeah.
Some days it still feels like we're bootstrapping. but I mean, we love doing it, because if it was about making money and not having to worry, mm-hmm. this would be the wrong business.
Well, you would have done the recycling business.
I would have done the recycling business.
Marco, thank you so much for taking the time to give me and our listeners a glimpse into the life of an entrepreneur and what it's like to be on a flying trapeze.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
There are a lot of takeaways from my conversation with Marco. The first is a reminder that when you start something new, there will likely be constraints, like finding large, affordable space where the neighbors don't kick you out, dealing with liability and insurance, finding the right teachers, and the risk of losing big if the weather doesn't cooperate. We decide if it dampens or strengthens our resolve. The second is that starting a business during an economic downturn can be a very good thing. Because we're at the low end of the learning and demand curve, there's not a lot to lose, and where others may be discouraged, a little pluck can go a long way. The third is that when we start a business, it may take a while to figure out exactly what business we're in. Marco and his brother thought they were trapeze guys, but in fact, they are psychologists, teachers, and talent developers, helping people discover they can do something well they hadn't imagined. In fact, I would argue that trapeze psychology is disruption psychology. You think you can't, you jump, discover that you can. If you want to be successful, allow your constraints to motivate you. Start when others aren't starting, and be attuned to what you are actually selling. It's been wonderful to hear from so many of you. Dave Salisbury wrote it with the following: "The disrupt yourself message is so powerful right now. Internal bias is turning logical thinking people into smart bombs. Disrupting yourself, allowing for polite disagreement, and choosing to believe the best in people regardless of their choices is paramount to regaining some semblance of order in society." Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate that. Thank you again to Marco Rosamilia for being my guest, to David Klatt, my producer, Heather Hunt, my editor, and Brandon Jameson, our art director. I'm Whitney Johnson, and this is Disrupt Yourself.